Once in a beautiful, faraway land that was somehow not so very far away, a land where every stone was a teacher and every breeze a language, where every lake was a mirror and every tree a ladder to the stars. Into this far and lovely land, there fell a truth. It streaked down from the stars, trailing a tail as long as the sky. But as it fell, it broke. And one of the pieces blazed off through the night sky, and the other fell to earth in the beautiful land. In the morning, Crow found the fallen piece. It seemed to be sort of a stone, shiny and pleasing to the eye. He picked it up. "This is a lovely truth," said Crow. "I will keep it." And he carried it away. But after he had held it for a while and examined it closely, Crow said, "This truth does not feel quite right. Part of it is missing. I'll look for a whole one." He flew off and dropped it to the ground. Other creatures who liked shiny things soon noticed the truth as well. Fox, coyote, raccoon. Each picked it up and carried it for a while. But they too found that it had rough edges and was difficult to carry, and the sparkle soon lost its appeal. "Nah, we do not need this broken truth," they said. "We will find a whole one." Butterfly and bear also discovered the truth, drawn by its sweetness. But each found that it left a bitter taste after all. "There is something missing in this truth," they thought, and so they left it. And after a while, none of the creatures even noticed the broken truth anymore. It lay on the ground, forgotten.
Then a human found it. He was walking slowly, listening to breezes, gazing at beauties above and below and all around him, when he found the broken truth. On it was writing, and the writing said, "You are loved." The man held it carefully, thinking it was the loveliest thing he had ever seen. He tucked the broken truth into a safe place and kept it. Sometimes he would take it out and admire it. And the truth sparkled just for him and whispered its message to him alone. And the man thought he had never felt so proud and so happy. The man took the wonderful truth to his people, those who lived with him, who spoke as he spoke and dressed as he dressed, and whose faces looked like his. And together they cherished their newfound truth and believed in it. They hugged it to themselves, and it became their most important possession. After a while, the man and his people did not hear the language of the breezes and stones anymore, but heard only their truth. They did not see the mirrored beauty in the lakes or the ladders to the stars, but saw only their sparkling truth. And for them it was enough. And they called it the truth. The truth made the people feel good and proud and strong. But soon they began to feel fear and even anger towards those who were not like themselves and did not share their truth. The other beings, the other people of the lovely land seemed less and less important. And the language of the breezes was hardly ever heard anymore. Time passed, and the other people said, "We must have this great truth for ourselves, for with it comes happiness and power." Many battles were fought, and the broken truth was won and lost, over and over again. But such was its power and beauty that no one ever doubted it. And when they were without it, they felt great emptiness where their truth had been. The stones and the trees suffered. The breezes and the water suffered. And the animals and the earth. And most of all, the people suffered. I, or perhaps I should be more specific and say my daughter Alexis, received this book we're reading today as an adoption gift. I want to take a moment and thank Reverend Kendra for driving this service. I have loved this book and thought it offers us so much as individuals and as community. I've been lobbying for a worship service about it for 2 years since we received it. I found it interesting that the first dedication written in the gifted book, Old Turtle and the Broken Truth, to Alexis was, "The whole truth is that you are loved more than you can ever know." And after reading this story, I felt compelled to go back to the gift giver and ask that they correct the dedication. As our sharing continues today, we will hear how the whole truth we cling so mightily to is really broken. How it crucified our connectedness and limits us from seeing, hearing, and feeling so many of the truths in life and love. I want to share a spiritual practice that Kendra and I have begun to call the You Matter Challenge. I gleaned many important things from my Black Lives Matter interdisciplinary seminar in seminary. One was a no enemy challenge that we might do someday, and the one today is the You Matter Challenge. I think as progressives and people who seek to stand on the side of love, we are subject to blind spots. So if you choose to experiment with this, be prepared to encounter your human broken truth. Be prepared to see the seamier side of your efforts. Be prepared that you are loved, and that is not all. Yet, that loving one another and continued effort to stand on the side of love will bear fruit and heal much. This may sound simple or even simplistic because it's much like sonar where something gets pinged, the sound is sent out into the world, and you get something back. It's simple. As you go about your day and see others, any other, look, really see them, whomever, and in your head, don't say it to them, you'll freak them out. Say, "You matter." Don't get too bogged down with what it means to matter, how, to whom, why. You'll have time to consider those. Just reach out as sincerely as your spirit can. Stroll along and say, "You matter." Ping. And be prepared for yourself to be informed by yourself who and what matters. And if anything is awry in mattering, you will become aware, perhaps painfully, who matters, who is loved, what judgments are written inside of you. I was not prepared. It upset me when I judged a black man for being in an academic position that I doubted his credentials. It upset me when I was looking down on a smoker, on an overweight person, on a snotty, haughty, rude person. OMG. Wow. I was not prepared. But I still encourage you to ping your world. How is this a spiritual practice? And how might you grow using it? It's a spiritual practice. Practice accepting that when you're in a culture that tells you you are loved, you, wonderful, you. You. You are going to learn things about the others, other people, other creatures. So the magic of the practice is that you continue to practice. When you get something back that you didn't expect or don't like, say you matter again after you have that negative experience. The positive experiences will be self-fulfilling. After you discover your broken connections, you are loved. And
finally, the animals went to Old Turtle, ancient and wise as the mountains and the seas themselves. Crow and fox went. Coyote went. Raccoon. Butterfly. Bear. Many others. They all went to see Old Turtle. This truth the people quarrel over, they said. We have all held it ourselves. It is broken and it does not work. Please tell the people. I am sorry, answered Old Turtle. But the people will not listen. They are not yet ready. And the suffering continued. It continued until one day, a little girl came to find Old Turtle. She had traveled very far, had crossed the mountains of imagining and the river of wondering why had found her way through the forest of finding out. And when she had grown tired, she had ridden on the backs of animals or the wings of birds, and they had helped her find her way. Finally, they came to a great hill in the very center of the world. From there, the little girl thought she had never seen so far or seen so much beauty. But when she saw Old Turtle, she could hardly speak. She simply looked with eyes full of wonder. Why have you come so far to find me, little one? Asked Old Turtle. Her voice rumbled like faraway thunder, but was soft as the breeze through a caterpillar's whiskers. I wanted to ask a question, answered the little girl. Where I live, The earth is sore and people are suffering. Battles are fought over and over again. People say it has always been this way and will never change. Can it change, old turtle? Can we make it change? Old turtle spoke. The world you describe is not the world that has always been, little one. Then old turtle told of how people had found the broken truth and the suffering it had caused. It is because it is so close to a great whole truth that it has such beauty and that the people love it so, said Old Turtle. It is the lost portion of that broken truth that the people need if the world is to be made whole again. But where is the missing piece? Asked the little girl. Can we put the truth back together again? First, my child, said Old Turtle, remember that there are truths all around us and within us. They twinkle in the night sky and they bloom upon the earth. They fall upon us every day, silent as the snow, gentle as the rain. The people clutching their truth forget that it is part of the small and lovely truths of life. They no longer see these truths. They no longer hear them. But perhaps, little one, you can... I'll try, said the little girl. And she thought once more of her long journey. She looked upon all the beauty that surrounded her, from the far hills to the flowers beneath her feet. She saw the movement of clouds and the soaring of birds and the circling and the dancing of light upon the green and living earth. She heard the whispering of a breeze, and gradually a feeling came over her as though all the world were made of truths, as if the world had been made just for her and she had been made for it. And she felt a secret smile somewhere deep inside and thought that perhaps she understood. She looked once again at Old Turtle. Her eyes were filled with more wonder than before. Old Turtle spoke again. Remember this also, little one, she said. The broken truth and life itself will be mended only when one person meets another. Someone from a different place or with a different face or different ways and sees and hears herself. Only then will the people know that every person, every being is important. And that the world was made for each of us. For a long time then, the two friends were quiet, high on their hill in the very center of the world. And in her heart, the little girl thought she could see other people in other beautiful lands. People with their own ways, their own truths, people different from her own, but still somehow the people. Finally, the little girl asked one more question. Old Turtle, how will the people learn these things? by seeking out those small and simple truths all around them, said Old Turtle. By listening once more to the language of breezes. By learning lessons from stones. By learning lessons from animals and trees and stars. Even turtles, she chuckled, and little girls.
Now, little one, it is time for you to go, to return to your people and tell them what you have seen and learned, and to help them mend their broken truth. Take this with you, said Old Turtle, as she placed something into the little girl's hands. I have saved it for a very long time for someone just like you. The little girl looked at what Old Turtle had given her. It was a kind of stone, a mysterious, beautiful stone. It was lovely to touch, and it made her feel good to hold it. She squeezed it tightly, then tucked it away for her journey. Thank you, Old Turtle, she said, and hugged her friend's great leathery neck. And then she started home.
Author Arundhati Roy says, another world is not only possible, she is already on her way. On a quiet day, I can hear her breathing. And this says what I want to say about resurrection. And there's a little bit more of the story to tell first. The little girl traveled again through the forest of finding out, crossed the river of wondering why, and the mountains of imagining. Crow led the way. And again, when the little girl grew tired, all of her animal friends helped. She sometimes touched the stone Old Turtle had given her to renew her strength. And it took a long time, yet almost no time at all. And then she was home. It had been a long journey. And those who take great journeys of the heart are changed. Her people did not recognize her. And when she spoke, they did not understand. She told them about her journey, but the people could not follow her words. She spoke of a world made of small, gentle truths, of all the peoples being one people. But they could not catch her meaning. She explained about the broken truth and the need to make it whole. But the people, they did not believe her. They couldn't understand what she was trying to tell them. Finally, Crow, seeing all that had happened, flew to the place high above the village where the great truth was kept, in a place where all could see it. And Crow cawed and cawed in his loudest voice. And then the little girl knew what to do. She climbed to the highest place herself, and she took Old Turtle's stone from her pocket and carefully added the missing piece, the old broken one, and it fit. The people looked
and looked
and looked.
Some frowned.
Some smiled.
Some even laughed.
and some cried.
And they began to understand. Time passed, and upon the beautiful land, the trees climbed like ladders to the stars. The waters shone like mirrors, and the people saw their beauty. A breeze stirred, and they heard its music. Tiny truths fell by day and night, gentle as the rain and the snow. And the people found them and kept them in their hearts. And slowly, as the people met other people different from themselves, they began to see themselves. And far away, on a hill, in the very center of the world, old Turtle smiled. You are loved, and so are they. It stretches our heart in two directions, makes it bigger, deeper, makes life more possible on this earth. Because we can only step into this world with fullness if we remember the truth that we are loved. And we can only meet the world if we remember with every breath that everyone who is not me, not the person who looks out from these eyes, that all of them are loved too. All of them. Even the ones that you are currently picturing as being doubtful in that regard. All of them. And that's the claim of universalism. Our heritage, the tradition that we live in, that we think our work in the world is to go out and spread love. That there is enough suffering already, and that the God that they knew was a loving God, and so that is our work, to spread love. And it is the hardest work that there is. Christopher has offered us a practice for stretching our hearts, stretching our understanding of ourselves, stretching the way we can meet each other, which is the work that Jesus asked people to do. Stretch who you think you are, stretch what you think is acceptable, stretch who you think falls into the category of loved, because it's everyone. Love your neighbor as yourself. Turns out you have a lot of neighbors. A lot of neighbors who need to be loved. So, you are loved, and they are too, is the resurrection story now. It will resurrect our towns. It will resurrect our families. You are loved and they are too is how we resurrect our world. It is the hardest work. And it is a truth that is big enough to embrace us all.